Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. Coming up, here's something I didn't expect to hear in Congress.
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good Friday morning to you, 6:11. Yeah, Vince is back Monday. He's in New York. He's picking up his daughter from school and bringing her back for the summer. Adam Roberts in studio here. Hello, Adam.
Good morning, Eric.
Thanks to Jack Grau for taking over in the newsroom. Debbie Lasga's got our roads. And, of course, Greg Pancake Hill doing yeoman's work. He's also got our sports. So thanks, everyone, for the switching of the chairs today. Hey, one of the stories that we've been following very closely, Adam, that has had a new twist or an update is that of Sade Robinson. She's the 19-year-old from Milwaukee, murdered, dismembered by prosecutors say a man named Maxwell Anderson. Now, Anderson is in custody facing charges, and to be blunt, they have not found all of Sade yet.
Correct.
And you wonder if they ever will. Her leg was discovered in Warnemont Park in Cudahy last month. Remains found up in a northern part of Milwaukee. A torso found along the lakeshore of Lake Michigan. Well, now it appears they found potentially another body part. An arm has been discovered on the shores of Lake Michigan in Waukegan, Illinois. It's a little bit more than an hour from here south.
Right. That's a bit of a way to drift if we're going to try to correlate. But it kind of times out. It's been about a month and a half since the initial discoveries were made.
It would make sense, right, that it likely traveled via water down Lake Michigan to that spot. Now, they haven't said that yet. And the remains have yet to be even identified as those of Sade's. However, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the family was notified that the sheriff's office did call and say, hey, this has been located. What's fascinating about this is that the news of this arm came on the same day of a news conference that was held in Madison. There was a push now to create a task force for missing and murdered black women and girls in Madison. And many of the victims over the past few years were brought up during this news conference, including Sade Robinson's. In fact, Dr. Erica Brown spoke. She is a friend of Sade's mother, Sheena Scarborough.
She's been thrust into a nightmare, one marked by anger, disappointment, and profound grief.
And Dr. Clark, well, one of the things she said that Scarborough has been highly critical of how law enforcement has handled her daughter's case.
Every piece of Sade's temple has been found by members of the community. And as Sheena's friend, I've witnessed firsthand the agony of waiting, the excruciating uncertainty that plagues her and her family every waking moment. Weeks have turned into months.
Yes.
And still there's no closure.
I apologize. I identified her as Dr. Brown. It's Dr. Clark. It is Dr. Brown. Erica Brown speaking there at that news conference, essentially saying that, like, as this continues to move on, it only gets worse and worse for her.
And one of the things, Eric, as we've been following this story, that sticks out to me is just the gathering and effort of everyone from family to friends to community members to find these body parts. I think in the time that I've been in news, I haven't seen such a coordinated effort by the community. You see it from law enforcement all the time, but such a wide-ranging, I mean, the only other one I can think of currently.
Elijah Vu.
Exactly.
Yep, it's amazing. Actually, that's the silver lining, if there is any. The shred of silver lining is knowing that there is a community out there that wants to help with this. It is 6:15. Pancakes got your sports. Thanks.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
All right, the schedule's out. Plans have been made. Tickets are on sale, ready to be purchased. They are not cheap, by the way. Looked them up just for reference. The next point of order for the Green Bay Packers, signing their guy, Jordan Love, to a new contract. Now, let's catch you up. Last year, Love signed a one-year extension to his rookie deal, earning him $13 million that next season. But after this season, his contract is up. ESPN's NFL's insider, Adam Schefter, on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy earlier this week.
You want to get this deal done, in my mind. Both sides, I think, want to get this deal done in their minds. But
Right now, they're not close to making it happen.
Yeah, okay. All right. Seems a little alarmist, but we're not sounding the love alarm just yet. There's plenty of time before the season starts. We're in organized team activities, part of the offseason, so plenty of time left. Also, Love is there, so it's not like he's holding out. He's not threatening anything, whatever.
It's Giannis. He wants to leave.
There's no reports of him going to the Patriots or any of that.
We're fine.
Just dismiss it. Now, we won't get too sports contract nerdy on this.
Let's get those nerds!
But what really set this in motion, the market, if you will, is the signing of Lions quarterback Jordan Goff, signing the bag, $212 million extension over 4 years, and that sets the value of the quarterback market. So, will the Packers see that exact value in Love? We will see, something to monitor, but you know his agent is like, hello? Pay my guy.
Yeah.
So, that's just the job at hand, something to monitor, nothing terrible as of yet. Meanwhile, Brewers are in Houston to take on the Astros tonight. Freddie Peralta towing the rubber for the Brewers this evening. Our coverage on WTMJ starts at 6. First pitch scheduled for 7:10. And I know everyone is tracking it. 50 days away from the 4th of July, which means 50 days away from Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And there is a qualifying event happening in Times Square today. CC Vince Vitrano, if he wants to stop by, maybe throw his name in the ring. Now, this is the best part. It comes straight from the website of the registration page. Are you ready for this? Like, you know how over the top this thing is?
Please.
Do you have the appetite to take a bite out of the Big Apple? The question isn't just whether you can stand the heat, it's whether you can make the city's heartbeat match your own. Amidst the glow of neon lights and the chorus of city sounds, your moment of glory beckons. This is where legends are born, where dreams become reality. If you're ready to take on the best and prove your worth on the biggest stage of all, then Times Square is calling. To remind you, we're talking about eating hot dogs, everybody. Eating hot dogs.
I love it.
And if
you
think you can hang Joey Chestnut 868. And this isn't his world record. He's like 74.
So does he have to be there today?
No, I think he gets an automatic bid. One of those like, hey, you were a Masters champ. You could play here all the time. Similar to that. Hot dog eating, everybody.
Oh, here we go. Thank you, Greg. 619. It was the party of all parties. And it was last night in Milwaukee. That story next. Broadway star Idina Menzel serenading the crowd at a very posh opening night gala at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee.
Looked very nice.
Oh, my goodness. Black tie affair. I was not there, but I know people who were, and I'm told it was incredible. And it came hours after the ribbon cutting officially opened the brand new North End. I also heard, by the way, Menzel was really good, like spicy and fun, and even made a joke that she was the first ever to christen the dressing room bathroom. So that's cool. Last night was the culmination of a very long process that really started decades ago to get that north end of the convention center built.
It's a bit of a sense of relief, but it's a sense of pride and a sense of accomplishment for the city and the community that everyone banded together to get this done. And it's just great to see the turnout here and the energy in this room. You can really feel it.
So that's Jim Cantner. He was at the ribbon cutting as well. I was there. I talked to him. That's the Wisconsin Center District Board Chair. So you had the ribbon cutting, you had the big opening night gala. They also put a time capsule into one of the walls there from MPS students.
So what year do they have now until they open it?
It sounds like it's going to be 50 years at least. And among the items inside is a mixtape.
Oh, from 2024?
Yeah.
Tracks from this year? That's
awesome. So it'll be on a flash drive. Which
I was going to say, is there something to be able to play it with? Okay.
Even a flash drive. You think that'll be used 50 years from now?
I have to imagine we'll unearth it. What is this foreign technology?
Tiny little piece of plastic to just toss that. It was just debris. Anyway, you have the gala, you have the open house, and now tomorrow is that big public opportunity to take the tours. So I asked Jim about what we can expect at these tours. So on Saturday, there's a public viewing of the place. Where would you suggest people to go? What do they need to see?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, the ballroom's just incredible, right? So go out to the top floor and then walk outside. And the vista and the view that you have from the balcony that can hold, I mean, about 1,000 people out there is just beautiful. And then the works of art that we've been able to commission here to make this more of a modern touch on what people are looking for when they come visit conventions. So those would be the two places that I would go first. Go to the top, go to the ballroom, and it'll be a beautiful day here in Milwaukee on Saturday. Go out and see the city.
Jim, thank you very much.
All right, Eric, thank you.
It was amazing yesterday. It really was. Like, everyone on Cloud 9, like, just beaming. Peggy Williams-Smith from Visit Milwaukee was there for the ribbon cutting. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley and Mayor Cavalier Johnson. But they weren't there very long. They spoke, and then they pretty much got out of there. I assume they were heading to Discovery World to get some FaceTime with the vice president.
That's right. They were. There was a lot of dignitaries. Once again, for a presidential event in Southeast Wisconsin. We've had a lot of them, and we're going to have more,
I'm sure. Oh, yeah.
So Kamala, yes, she was at Discovery World with D.L. Hughley doing a little one-on-one moderated conversation on the economy, talking housing, affordability, et cetera. But yeah, the mayor was there trying to get all nice and smiley. In fact, Kamala actually came down after the event, and it was just a mad rush for everyone to get their FaceTime with the vice president, including the mayor. Big smiles, everyone. I caught up with him after the fact, Eric, because some pretty big news was made yesterday by the vice president. She's open to a debate against whoever the Republican vice presidential candidate will be this year. Now, we don't know who that is yet. Of course, former President Donald Trump teasing it a little bit with TMJ4's Charles Benson, but there will be a debate. And we don't know when or where it's going to be. So I posed the question to the mayor. You know, there's been a city right here that's done debates fairly recently. The vice president today said she would be open to debating the vice presidential candidate from the other side later this year. I know the dates are a little up in the air, but if it works out, we have experience hosting debates relatively recently. Would you be open to saying, hey, come bring it on down here. We got the infrastructure to make it happen.
Oh, I absolutely would be interested in seeing a vice presidential debate take place here in Milwaukee. Look, we're seeing all the candidates that are lining up in the same outfit look like cheerleaders outside the court house in Manhattan for the selection for Trump's VP pick. I think no matter which person Donald Trump selects to be his vice presidential run, Vice President Harris is going to mop the floor with him.
So a little bit of a calling of the shot there, a little spicy Chevy. But yeah, so July 23rd, probably not going to work too close to the RNC, but August 13th has also been floated as a date. So as they say, anything's possible.
And then former President Trump making news, telling TMJ4 News' Charles Benson that maybe they will announce their VP at the convention here in Milwaukee, their VP candidate. We'll see. Here's something I didn't expect to read today out loud. The number one golfer in the world was headed to the PGA Championship game round two today, and now he's in police custody. That story at 6:45.
Beautiful tease. Meanwhile, in Galveston, they're dealing with pollution and another boat into a bridge situation. That pollution factor from a 321-foot petroleum barge that slammed into the Pelican Island Causeway. It's coming into sharper focus this morning.
Early estimates indicate up to 2,000 gallons of oil may have spilled into the waters after the barge carrying nearly a million gallons of vacuum gas oil broke free from a tugboat Wednesday, slamming into the Pelican Island Bridge. U.S. Coast Guard Captain Keith Donahue.
We have over 200 people actively working on this response right now. We have skimmers in the water. We've recovered over 605 gallons of oily water mixture.
The stability of the bridge remains in question, and the cause of the crash is still under investigation. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
And real quick, I've seen this bridge before. I've been down to Galveston plenty. I have family in the area. Yeah. It's low. It's not like the Baltimore Bridge, which is way high up there. This is basically at water level almost. So structural integrity in question, and definitely more to follow up on this one.
Coming up, here's something I didn't expect to hear in Congress.
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aw.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
6:38. There it is. Wisconsin's Morning News, Eric Bilstead along with Adam Roberts. Vince Vetrano is back on Monday. Well, maybe someday some congresspeople will take their jobs seriously, and then I can take them seriously. The Republican-led House Oversight Committee voted late Thursday to recommend a contempt of Congress resolution against Attorney General Merrick Garland. That's for his failure to turn over audio recordings of the special counsel interview with President Biden. Remember this, the whole document dump thing where he had a couple of documents that he had held on to, classified, yada, yada. So they had this interview that lasted several hours. And anyway, Republicans want that audio. They want to have more of that so they can use it. Obviously, there's campaign. You want to hear that audio. It got personal, though, between Democrats and Republicans. Democrat Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett and others were frustrated with Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican from Georgia. And here's why. If you listen, you'll hear MGT, Marjorie Taylor Greene, comment on someone else's looks during this bite.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you the one talking about. I
think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold the room.
Order.
Fake eyelash. Order. Yeah. Order. Hey, come on. Let's settle this down.
That's low-hanging fruit, honestly. Yeah. Come on.
Fake eyelashes, man. So anyway, they kind of go back and forth a little bit. Then there's some demands for Congresswoman Greene to apologize.
And I would ask Ms. Greene if she would just make the apology. It's not that complicated. We don't want to get into face-to-face insults.
You will never get an apology out of me.
I object. Then I object, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Raskin's object.
All right. So anyway, they try to move on. And that's where Congresswoman Crockett goes, well, wait a minute. Hold on. We're just going to let this go.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
I'm sorry, what?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's a part of it.
I'm trying to find clarification on what quality.
Chairman, motion to strike those words.
I have no idea what you just said.
We're not gonna do this. Look, you guys earlier literally just
you just voted to do loud noises. There is Congress. And
boys and girls, yeah. Boys and girls. Come
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm. Just moving the country forward.
No cool
Chairman.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
So we'll get to the love contract discussion shortly, but we have to do this.
Holy cow.
About a half hour ago, world number one golfer Scottie Scheffler has been detained by police in handcuffs after a misunderstanding with traffic flow that led to his attempt to drive past a police officer into Valhalla Golf Club. Excuse me. The police officer attempted to attach himself to Scheffler's car, and Scheffler stopped the vehicle at the entrance to Valhalla. The police officer then began to scream at Scheffler to get out of the car. When Scheffler exited the vehicle, the officer shoved Scheffler against the car and immediately placed him in handcuffs. This is the number one golfer in the world.
But not only that, Greg, it's the PGA Championship. He's going to golf in the PGA Championship.
So this is from Jeff Darlington. He also caught this audio speaking to a police officer.
What do we do? I'm saying back.
Here's the thing. Right now, he's going to jail.
Okay.
Okay. He's going to jail. And it ain't nothing you can do about it.
What is happening? So anyway, we have
and
that.
Why is he driving himself?
And that too, and I've heard that the situation down there is like there's no sidewalk. Whatever. Crazy stuff. We got Gabe Neitzel coming on in about 3 minutes, and okay. he'll dive into it a little bit
Excellent.
Further. Meanwhile, the NFL schedule is out. Did you all know that? Packers' schedule has been made. Tickets are on sale, and the next point of order for the Packers is signing their guy Jordan Love to a new contract. Now to catch you up. Last year, Love signed a one-year extension to his rookie deal. He earned $13 million this upcoming season. But after this season, his contract's up. ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee earlier this week.
You want to get this deal done, in my mind. Both sides, I think, want to get this deal done in their minds. But right now, they're not close to making it happen.
Okay, so at the surface, seems super alarmist, but nothing to worry about. We got plenty of time. It's only May. There's plenty of time left to go. We're only in off-season activities. And by the way, Love is there. He's practicing. He's in these activities that aren't even mandatory. And so he's not holding out, but something to keep an eye on. It's just a situation, the next bullet point, so to speak, for the Packers. And we won't get too nerdy on this.
Let's get those nerds!
But what set this in motion was Jared Goff, the Lions quarterback. He got a major extension with a lot of money. So that set the market, and there you go. The first domino falls, and that's what happens. Meanwhile, Brewers are in Houston to take on the Astros tonight. It's Freddie Peralta towing the rubber for the Brewers. Our coverage on WTMJ starts at 6 this evening. First pitch scheduled for 7. 10.
I'm trying to think of a comp for what's happening right now.
I don't know if this is ever on the field of play.
What's the comp? This would be like LeBron James getting taken into custody during game two of the NBA Finals while he was trying to walk into the Staples Center.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's exactly what happened.
Or like Christian Yelich, they're in game two of the, you know, NLCS, and it's like, hey, buddy, you crossed the, you did it, you jaywalked, now you're going to jail. Right. Like, what is happening?
Let's get Gabe Neitzel in here. We'll walk through what is happening, this unprecedented moment in time in the PGA Championship. We'll do it next. I have no idea what in the world just happened.
I don't know.
World number one golfer Scottie Scheffler detained by police in handcuffs after a misunderstanding with traffic flow, according to ESPN's Jeff Darlington, who is there. Gabe Neitzel joins us from ESPN Milwaukee. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy starts here in minutes. I'm sure you'll have something to talk about, Gabe. The thing that I didn't mention is that this is during the PGA Championship.
Correct. One of the four majors of the year. Second major of the season.
And now he's in custody.
So, a lot of things going into this, and we'll try to do it quick because I know it's a short segment, and my show starts here, too. So there was a fatality with a pedestrian. So a pedestrian was hit by a car earlier today, which is what caused a lot of traffic and a lot of police presence very close to the entrance of the club of Valhalla in Louisville, where this golf court, where this golf tournament is happening. And once that happened, they decided, okay, we have to delay the start of the second round just because players were having trouble. They're getting backed up in traffic. It's taking them a while to get here. But players were the only ones that were going to be allowed into Valhalla. And if you've never been to a golf tournament before, and maybe you've not even seen these, but players are given, because usually there's an official car of the PGA or official car of whatever tournament you're at, and players will get courtesy cars.
Okay.
So, and it's marked, you know, official car of the PGA, courtesy car.
You know it's
so
someone of importance.
Yes, you know it's probably somebody who is supposed to be inside the tournament. Scottie Scheffler was apparently driving one of those cars, according to Jeff Darlington. So he was trying to get in, as he is allowed to, and officer tried to stop him. Apparently he tried to just keep pulling past him, but he was driving very slowly to the point where the cop was able to just on foot continue following him, pounding on his window. Eventually Scottie stopped. Apparently Scheffler thought that he was just a security guard, and okay, no big deal, I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
And the cop was very upset and eventually detained Scheffler, handcuffs and all, put him back in the police cruiser. I'm assuming he's on his way right now to one of the precincts in Louisville.
Well, per the video from Jeff Darlington,
I'm staying back.
Here's the thing. Right now, he's going to jail.
Okay.
He's going to jail, and it ain't nothing you can do about it.
So the question is, is there any way he golfs today?
So his tee time, because of everything pushed back, they announced about a half hour ago that everything was delayed by about an hour, 20 minutes with tee times. His tee time is 10:08 Eastern time, 9:08 time. So we're about an hour and 10 minutes away, or excuse me, 2 hours and 10 minutes away from his tee time. So depending upon how long it takes him to apparently get booked and post bail.
This is amazing.
But that's what we're talking about right now, with the world number one player. And the craziest part about this, I'm sure you guys did not watch Full Swing season one, but Full Swing is a TV series about PGA Tour players that was released on Netflix. Yeah. They have two seasons. He was featured in season one. He is about the most boring person and like the nicest dude. Like, he is the nicest guy. Like, for excitement, seriously, and this is documented in Full Swing season one. Like, the excitement is they went, him and his wife, who, by the way, just gave birth about a week ago to their first child.
Yeah.
Like, their excitement was going to a coffee shop and trying each other's coffees, right? Like, this was, this is like the most boring, milquetoast, but just, you know, dominant golf player on the golf course. And somehow through this misunderstanding, is now in custody, presumably being booked.
It's amazing to me. I love this story. I still think he gets out there somehow. I feel like there, someone calls someone, PGA calls and says, well, hey.
Best of luck getting a police escort to the course. That's about the only way he's going to get there on time, right?
You got a show to do.
Get out of here.
From ESPN Milwaukee. Man, what a day. Friday morning is just getting off to a hot start. 6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.